So today we do want to share that of the birth of Christ. And toward the close of the service, we'll have communion and join that together as a corporate body. So Lord, as I go out, Lord, and we launch into this, Father, just guide these words and let this conversation be that of you, Lord. As we reflect as a body here, Lord, your birth and how it touches us today. So this morning, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which be to all people, out of Luke 2, verse 10, towards the end of that. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is to all people, not just the Jewish people, but to who? All, Gentiles, everyone, the birth is coming. The good news is there. If we look at that, I bring you good tidings. What is tidings? Really, a definition of tiding is this. It's a piece of news. I'm bringing you news today. Good news. Amen? And what this means, it means that they have information to share that is probably something you're going to like. So as the angel appears, and this is where he's sharing the angel to that of the shepherds, it says in Luke 2, starts in verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then this angel says to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" And it goes on to tell the shepherds how you will recognize this babe. So it's good news for us today, for us the Gentiles, that he has come for us as well. He came for you. Many of us here today have already received him as their Lord and Savior, right? Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. We are reading here that this greatest event in history is happening. The Messiah has been born. For many years, the Jews had waited for this to happen. And who was it that he proclaimed it to? To just some humbled little old shepherds out in the field, proclaiming it to them. Luke 2:8. We read that, I believe, already, didn't we? And now the good news about Jesus is that he has come for all of us. The plain and the ordinary person. You don't have to have status to have that of Christ in your life, do you? Isn't that great to know that he came for everybody, every social, economic level, any person, any color, any nationality, any of all. What does not fit with all? He came for all of us. He comes to those that have a humble heart and that will receive him. And that's what it talks about when we have people, when I finally came into that revelation of receiving him into my heart, I had to have that humble heart, that openness in my heart to finally say, enough is enough, I need you, and I need you not just here, now and then, and temporarily, or only when I want it. Lord, I want you, and I know that I need you every day of my life, and I need your help and your strength and your guidance, and well, I need you, Lord. So he's come for any and all of us. You can't buy him. You can't give him treasures. You can't give him gifts. You can't give him this. Jesus cannot be bought. The only one that's been bought in that equation is who? You. You have been bought with that of what? The price of the life of Jesus on the cross and the blood shed for you to cleanse us of our sins. No, we have been the ones that have bought, but you can't buy him. He's free for all. Amen? You find encouragement in that? Is that good to know? Is that something exciting to share with people around you? It's like, you know, you're doing a lot of shopping now, you know, holidays, Christmas, and gifts and things of that nature. Isn't it great to say to somebody, I got the most precious gift you'll ever need. You need it, and it's all free. It's free. Jesus is free. He's come for all of us. He's come for you. We talk to people throughout our life and throughout our times, throughout this year, anytime, family and friends, people we live next to, whatever the case might be, that we can share this gift that we know of. Maybe they've heard of him. Maybe they feel they're not worthy of him. Maybe they feel like they're so far removed from him. But guess what? We can tell them, yes, you are so far removed from him. But it's through him that draws you closer to him. Just accept him and ask him into your heart, into your life. Humble thyself. Humble your heart to allow something that is so magnificent, so powerful, so that is life-changing, will come into your heart and will make a total difference in your life, in how you perceive life, and how you share life, and how you look at some of the crazy things that go on in our world that we're a part of, that I can stand in that of faith, I can stand in that of hope and joy and peace and love through that of Christ in me. And oh, let the world fall apart, let the world shake, let everything happen. But I'm going to walk in all of these things that my Lord and Savior has given to me if I'm just willing to hang on to them, hold on to them. Maybe you've got to, like a gift, unpack them in your heart one by one. Maybe you need to unpack that gift of hope when all else fails and you have nothing else and what's going to happen. Unpack that hope that has been there ever since receiving that of Christ. Maybe you're frustrated and anxiety and all of these things. Maybe you need to unpack that peace that you have been given to you at the accepting that of Christ. Hope, peace. You no longer laugh. Maybe you unpack that joy, unpack that love. See, the gift that he has given to us, a lot of us leave it wrapped up. And we go through life miserable. And we wonder why. It's because we don't go to the fullness of what Christ is for us. The fullness of the birth of Christ and why he came so long ago, over 2,000 plus years back, and where we're at in these times, and that he is still the same today as he was yesterday and tomorrow. We have all of this right there at our disposal. So whatever you do, whoever you are, you can have Jesus in your life. Oh my, I'm so far, my, I'm such a sinner. No, there is no sin that is stronger than the power of Jesus' blood. Just get that out of your head right now. Don't allow the enemy to tell you your sin is so bad, so powerful, so strong, that this mere blood of Jesus, it can't even cleanse you. That is the lie and from the pit of hell. That's the devil, the enemy telling you that. Because Jesus' blood is power. For there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. In the blood. Yeah. It's another exciting hymn to sing, huh? Joy to the world, there is power, power. Ooh. Victory in Jesus, oh my Savior forever. You got to have these things just flood into you when you're going through a very hard, difficult, upsetting time. I pray and I trust that the Spirit of God will just move in you in those times, that pretty soon you will look past what you see here. Problem, problem, problem. Pew, look past. Answer there. Answer coming. Answer on the way. Prepare to receive that which he has for you. Just like the angel saying here, behold, behold. Woo. Do not be afraid. You're in a situation today. Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you today good news, good tidings, great joy. Tidings. I've got some news for you, brother and sister. And you're going to like it. Remember, tidings, probably some news that somebody wants to share that's probably you're going to like. It's like when one of my kids and all that, they stop at Culver's and they call and say, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, we're stopping at Culver's to get a concrete. You want us to bring you one? Yes! Yes! Hallelujah! They're calling me and giving me some great news. Good tidings. I'm sharing with you something that you're going to like to hear. We're going to Culver's. It's always good. I don't care if it's the meal, if it's the dessert, if it's just the snack. Jesus. When you go to Him, it's all going to be good. And all that He has for you is going to be good. You may need this part in your life. You might need the full basket, double hamburger, cheeseburger, loaded with the works. You've got a problem. But then again, you might just want a snack, and He's got that too. He's got everything that you need, when you need it, how much you need, at the right time. Such a gift. Such a blessing. Why do we worry? Why do we doubt? Well, because we listen to the lies of the world. We allow the lies of the God of this world to tell us that your life's going to be rough, it's not going to amount to nothing, it's just going to be problem after problem after problem. And we begin to believe those lies. Remember, as we talked, even in some of the natural things, that we talk about how there's so much lies in this world, so much lies in our country, that people that lie, after a while, they believe the lie. People that hear a lie, even though you don't believe it at first, but if you hear it over and over and over, you will start thinking like maybe there must be some truth to this. So all the enemy has to do, either in the spiritual realm to you, or even in our physical realm, look at it as a physical thing too. It's you know, our battles and all are that of the spiritual for sure, but I tell you what, you see a lot of it in the natural, and you parlay it or whatever that is into the spiritual. I take the spiritual, and I look at it into the natural, and that's, I think, what God wants us to do, to say, hey, this is what it's about in the spiritual, this is what's happening in the natural, but I'm there through it all, and I will be with you. And so we've got to look at these things, and we've got to realize that we no longer take a lie, that we stand on what? The truth. And we stand on the truth of that, of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And that He has come to give you so much. So much. Don't let the enemy steal it. Don't let the enemy take it. Don't let the enemy tell you that you don't deserve it. Yeah, devil, you know what? Probably back in the time, I didn't deserve it, with all that Christ has done for me. But something's changed, devil. I've received Him as my Lord and Savior. My sins have been cleansed from me. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, so I'm a new child in God. So get out of here, devil. Find somebody else to bother, because I am His, and He is mine. And whatever you say, I'm not going to let you steal my joy. We talk about, you know, the joy I have and all that. The world didn't give it to me and all that. We all know. And see, we got to walk this life every day, to be aware of what Christ has given you, that something, someone, something in the world wants to steal your hope, steal your peace, steal your love, steal your joy. Ultimately, that of the white of the Christ candle, they want to steal Christ out of your life. Through fear, worries, intrepidation, doubts, all of these things. The devil has been doing that from the very beginning. He's going to continue to do that until the second coming, and how the Lord's going to handle all that. It's going to be a good thing. I'm on the winning side. How about you? But I'm going to see the glory of God either as He comes again or when I'm called home. Either way, I'm going to shout, victory, victory. Oh, hallelujah, I've got the victory. Okay, I'll get kind of boring. I don't want to get too excited up here, okay? But shouts of joy. I see this as today, in this age that we've lived in. You know, they've... Oh, you can have church, but don't sing praises and worship. We might spill the germs out. Do you not see the enemy in some of these things? I do, and I'm not saying wacky stuff, but I'm just saying I know there's a place in all that, you know, protection. And but when it comes out to, oh, you can go to church, but don't sing. I just start laughing. I am going to praise my Lord. My goodness, whatever it happens, I know everybody's dealing with this in such a craziness of things. What is one of the powerful things that we do for the Lord and what the Lord tells us to do? Shout. Sing. Praise. Shout. I believe that of the devil of this world saying, don't, 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 under a guise of cross-contaminations and cross-spreadings and all of these things. Be wise, pay attention, but don't be in fear. But I begin to look at these things that we lived, and that's why I'm saying this has been a good year. Why? Because it's enlightened my life, in my eyes, spiritually, physically, whatever, to see how fast things happen, how fast things can change, how worldly entities can come in and control something overnight. We read about that in the scriptures and we think, well, I'm not going to live in that time. That was back then. Oh, that happening, like, you know, trials and tribulations coming in the future, that's going to be 5,000 years after I'm gone. It's not going to bother me. We're living in a great time. We're living in a great time because we're seeing all these things unfold, and we're even seeing the great and the mightiness of God showing up in these things. And that's when we begin to see, oh yeah, I see this. Oh yeah, but I see him. Oh yeah, I hear you, but oh yeah, I got a word from him. And that's the word I'm listening to. I'm not listening to your lies and distortions of truths and things. I'm listening to the truth giver, the life giver, the great I am is speaking into my heart. And I will listen to him to tell me to say, hey, Tim, you know, don't go there. Hey, Tim, be careful there. Hey, I'm going to guard you through that. Whatever the case, I'm not going to tempt him. Don't call me up one night and say, hey, Tim, I'm going to go down and we're going to try to find some rattlesnakes. You want to go with us and pick them up? No. No. Huh? You would. I'll step over here. No. It's like, no, I have no reason to go pick up snakes, especially rattlesnakes, because something about that. I mean, you're looking at a guy, I don't even like a little mouse. You show me a little garter snake. When I see a little garter snake that's like that, I see like a 25-foot python. You know, I just see this thing like a boa constrictor down in Florida, one of these mongo snakes that goes from here back to the wall. It's like, I just like, hey, I don't need to see that. I see that. I'm staying away. Yeah. Well, I'm honest, man. There's times I can be a girly man. Oh, yeah, you there, you're the girly man. Yeah, I'm a girly man. If it'll save my life, I'll give you girly. But I can be a man when I need to be, through that of Christ. But wisdom and stuff he gives us, you know, just don't tempt him in all these things, whether it's the snake or whether it's the virus, whatever it is. He didn't bring you this far to leave you alone. Amen? See, I'm on a long journey with him where I've come from, and I'm not about to give it up. I'm not about to say, oh, this is crazy. I'm getting rid of you, God, and I'm just going to take care of. No, I have come too far to turn back. I've come too far to say there's nothing to this life as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, to go back now, because I have seen too much good out of him and from him and to me from him. And I've seen anybody here seen his blessings? Has anybody felt his love? Anybody felt his warmth, his touch? All of these things when you've been lonely, when you've been hurting, when you've been in pain, when you've been wondering, when you've been in need and you needed things. He provided. He brought people across your path. I have seen him do and move in mighty great ways. And I'm not going to go back to that old life of living that I used to without him. That's foolishness. Wow. So here we go. Luke 2:11 says, for there is born to you this day, Luke 2:11, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Savior, the word designates a deliverer, a preserver, a savior, a benefactor, a rescuer. It is used to describe both God the Father and that of Jesus the Son. I have a Savior. He's there for me. Oh, hallelujah. Look what all he's given me. When has he and has he been your deliverer at a time? A preserver, a rescuer. Back in Jesus' time, the Jewish people, they were waiting for a Savior to deliver them from the Roman rule. See, people, we are always looking for someone to save us from the man, from something, from the government entity or whatever the case might be and things that are happening. But we look at this back then in his time, in Jesus' day, the people, the Jewish people were waiting for a Savior to deliver them from the Roman rule. I tell you, I've got a Savior. He's he's delivering me from the things of today. How about you? Hallelujah. Others hoped that they would be delivered from physical ailments through him. Multifaceted of things that they were looking at for this Savior, the Messiah, Jesus, the one born in the city of David. But Jesus was not only healing their illnesses as well as establishing what? His spiritual kingdom has come. Things changed when he was born. Do you believe that? There was a change in the whole thing. Everything else was by that of the prophets and the old and prophesied and the Holy Spirit and things of that nature has been hovering since the beginning of time. And God brings the birth of his son into this world and things changed. Whew, to the good. But don't look at him only healing your illnesses or helping at the times of your needs. Let him know and let him be known in you that he can give you much more. And that spiritual wisdom and the spiritual kingdom and the things that we are about. Oh, hallelujah. It's great to be delivered of your sins from him through that of the blood. Amen. But it's even greater to receive all the benefits that he has for you because of who you are in Christ Jesus. And he's going to use you and put things in you, giftings and strategies and thoughts and directions and things for the kingdom of God upon this place. For we are here as ambassadors. We're here representing that of a higher power, that of a better place. We're an agent for that of God, the kingdom of God. We're the ambassador. Go out and share the good of that, of what you have. You're here for a great time, a good time. Hallelujah. But expect more than just healing from him. That's okay. That's good. I expect more than just your salvation and where you're going to spend eternity. That's good. Amen. That's very good. But it's with those knowings that we have of where I know I'm going when the time comes for me to go home that I can rest upon that and I can focus on this. Because God wants me to not focus on that per se. Once I know that I've been saved and I'm going to glory, he's saying, now here's more stuff and here's your talents and here's your giftings and here's these things. Now go. Go and spread the good news. Go and tell the people of my blessings. Go and tell them of my mercies and my grace and to tell them that I am what? That I am. Be the Moses of today. And if you share it and the Spirit is upon you, they will see a glow in you and they will say, I want to find out more about that. He did far more than what the people were expecting. Maybe in your lives today, your expecting of him has waned. You've had so much going on maybe. Whatever life deals you. But don't lose it. Get it back. Get your expector back to what he has for you. And then begin to anticipate that and expect it and believe it and thank him and praise him and be, oh, hallelujah, Lord. This is going to be great. This is the greatest time to be alive. I'm going to keep saying that, man. This is the greatest time. Because I know that you have been placed here for this time because God doesn't make accidents. He does not make mistakes. You are here for a divine purpose planned out from the foundations of this world before even the birth of Jesus. God had this whole thing ready to go. And all he began to do is say, okay, step one, creation. Step two, this. Step three, this. Birth of Jesus. Holy Spirit comes. And we're going to just keep on going and serving and doing what we can when we do it, under knowing that we are just bringing honor and glory to him. Not to me, not to this church. It's to him, the glory. Jesus has paid the price for sin and he's opened that way to peace with God. Nobody today has peace. He brings us more than just a temporary political or physical change. His offering to us is giving us a new heart that will last for eternity. These new hearts that we have. Renew your heart. Do a heart transplant. He was doing heart transplants way before that Dr. Bernard, whoever it was, that did the first heart transplant back in what, the 60s or whatever it was, or 70s? I don't know when. God from the foundation, he's been doing heart transplants. Put in me a new heart. Change my heart, O Lord. Come to him. Yes, Lord. With that humbled heart. But he does bring more than just a temporary change. Temporary is that of the world. Things that God does is that of permanency, and it's there, and it's going to continue. His offerings to us is to give us a new heart that will last for eternity. Now, so the angel, looking at Luke 1:30, if I look back in Luke chapter 1, going back to 30, the angel Gabriel, who was sent by God, visited Mary, and she is told this: you will conceive and bring forth a son, and you're going to call him, and you shall call him Jesus. And this name means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is my salvation. Jesus, the salvation, has come for this world. We find in the Greek form of the Hebrew name of that of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. So we begin to see the tie-in from the Old Testament to the New, Joshua, into that meaning Jesus, Jesus in the New Testament. We find that it's to save. So as we look at this, Joshua, the Lord saves. So like Joshua in the Old Testament, he did what? He led Israel into that promised land by crossing the Jordan. Crossed the impossible. Crossed it when it was the highest. Crossed it when it was the flowing the fastest. Crossed it when it was... It's like, could we not have planned a better time, Lord? God? Don't you know, like in another month and a half, it's going to go back down to a trickle, maybe only as wide as this little aisle here or something? Do you not know what you're doing? No, it's he shows up in those things that we see natural, right? We see it naturally. This is impossible. There ain't no way we're going to go, and then we're going to go through what? On dry ground, huh? What? But it's in the dire of the situation that's when Jesus or when God does the miraculous. Now, yes, he could do that little thing, like I could dry that little stream up that's that wide. Ah, but I am the I am. And I'm going to show you something, my children. You're going to go at the time of the year, at the season that's going to look like so monumentally impossible. In the natural, it is impossible. But I'm going to show you how much I love you, how much I got planned out for you, and I'm going to show you how I'm going to perform that. All you got to do is trust me. And all you got to do is go up there. Now, this is kind of getting way off the subject, but could you imagine you're going there and you get, he says, you've got to go right up, now this is the water, you need to go right up to it and say, I'm ready. We find in our lives today when we see that insurmountable problem, instead of going and advancing to it, because I got God on my side, and as soon as I take the next step, boom, the land is dry and I'm walking through. The enemy gets us back here. Just like that guy Peter, wasn't it? Walking on the water, took his eyes off of Christ and starts to sink. We're going through it. I see this. I see it. I see it. Oh, what? And we stop. We stop before we go across our Jordan. Because of something that we see in the natural. Don't you think the children of Israel saw that in the natural? Yeah. I mean, they were not blind and dumb. But just like how Joshua did that and crossing the, we have Jesus that is leading us. He's leading his people into that of eternal life. Come with me and let me lead you and guide you. There is so much more I have for you. So what about this birth of Jesus and the importance for our lives today? Jesus is the Savior of the world. John 4:39. Oh boy, I have to hurry up here. John 4:39. And we talk about in John 4, it's the Samaritan woman at the well. Kind of know the overall concept of that. She's at the well getting water. He's there as well. And then 39 talks that many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I've ever did. When you get into a discourse with Jesus, don't start asking if he knows everything you've done. Just like, I know you know. Let's just bypass that, okay? I don't want to hear it. Oh, I'm embarrassed, Lord. I know it. I know it. And then in 42, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed, there it is, the Christ, the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. Wow. We find that to save, it means to, the word designates a deliverer, a preserver, a savior, a benefactor. Here we go, rescuer, we've talked about that. The Savior is here. And here's what I like too. Then we go to Romans 16, 20. Oh, wait, I forgot to highlight. We'll just kind of go through this. But then, okay, so we've seen this where the Samaritan woman, and we're finding out these people are the Samaritans saying, he is the Savior of the world. We've heard about him. He is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Well, then it's like, where does this all fit in the very beginning? Well, if you go to Genesis 3:15, we find that in this area of 3:15, we know that the woman and all has been tempted, right? Eve and then Adam, and now they hide because it's in the cool of the day and they hear, you know, God is coming through that of the forest. So they're hiding, and they say, he goes, why are you hiding? It's because we're naked. How did you know you're naked? Have you done what I've told you not to do? You know the story. And then God speaks to this, so in 3:14, so the Lord God says to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is the first proclamation of that of the Messiah that is coming. We are told this way back, that there's already a plan in place, devil. It's going to take some time, but it's on God's time. It's on my time, God is saying. It'll be when I want it to happen, and all these other things are going to take place, but he's saying, I've got it planned out already. So that's where we kind of look at that. And I think we're going to end here, because this is where it gets good. Because remember, this is the birth of Jesus. He's come. And now we are filled with that of the Holy Spirit, but we have come for that relationship through him in our hearts, and he's there in Romans 16. This is where we got to be soldiers, man. All that is because of who is in us and what Jesus has done for us. So we find in Romans 16, 20, it just says in 16:20, and the God of peace, the God of peace. Just stop there and think about that. You got peace today? You should. He's your God. I got peace. But here it goes. And the God of peace will crush. Everybody say crush. You sound like you're in doubt. Crush! God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That's the birth of Christ that has come to put that enmity in all of these things. And now he's here to wreak havoc with that of the devil, the serpent. And look at it. He's saying this. And this, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The crush is this, to trample upon, to break in pieces, to shatter, to bruise, to grind down, to smash. Where's the devil at? Do you have to do that sometime in your days? Feel like the devil's right there on you? You might have to give that guy a body slam. Boom! He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Through that of the birth of Jesus, the little babe in the manger, so cute and so cuddly, but the government upon his shoulders and what he was going to come to be and what he meant for you and me and what we have from him in us and what we're charged with and the ability to do is, I'm going to tell you guys, we better be going out there and crushing Satan under our feet. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to go out there and look for him to battle him. I'm not foolish, just like a snake. I'm not going to go looking for snakes because I don't need to. I know what snakes look like. I don't need to know it. But I'm going to tell you, you let a mouse come on my doorstep and I will break a broom over that little thing. Might only be that big, but I did break a broom for Dean. I had to go out and buy another one. I was hitting that thing like with like 5,000 pounds of pressure. And all of a sudden, hit it one last time, the head of the broom flew off, and I got the stick in my hand. But it wasn't moving. Hallelujah. Thank you for the birth of Jesus. Merry Christmas. Ooh, yeah, it's all good. Silent night. Oh, come all ye faithful. All these things are great. But now it gets to where we're at, where you're at today. And it's just like what it says here in Romans. That I'm going to tell you, we've got to be on a mission to advance the kingdom of God. I don't know necessarily in this world. It might be only you need to advance the kingdom of God in your life. You've got to advance the kingdom of God in your situation. And when you have that situation, and it's there, and it's monumental, and it's this, and this is the enemy just holding you back, and you see the enemy is piling on and all these things, you've got to remember that, hey, what did it say there? That in God of peace, He will crush Satan under your feet. You got to know who to go to, amen? You don't go to yourself. You don't go to some statue or something. You got the power in you. You're in that of the Holy Spirit-filled person. And when that battle rises up, and you see that's a battle of devil in amongst your life, and you're going to say, I'm going to put you under my feet. And was that a song out there? Take back what He stole from me. Take back what He stole from me. The devil is in the business of stealing everything he can from you. Your life, your family, your kids. He's doing a good job. Because he's good at being bad. You know that? The devil is very good at being bad. Seek, kill, destroy. And we've got to take those things that we have been given. And it's not my power. It's not my strength. It is not my ability. It is not then my knowledge, God. But it is of you in me. It's been I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And thank you for having him come as a babe in the manger. But thank you, Lord, for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the power. Give me the wisdom, the strength to be able to see, to be sensitive, and to hear your voice. To help me know left or right or stay advancing. You do what the Spirit of God tells you to do and you will have victory. Amen. You do like what that of God told Joshua to do to go across that Jordan. It's the widest, it's the fastest, it's the swiftest. It's what? Yes, 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 but I am God. And there's going to be a way for you to go. And when I'm done protecting you, I will let that water fall back in and take care of your enemy. So you advance and you go through whatever the enemy has got there before you. Whew, the enemy is back there in your dust and all of a sudden God just says, flood. Back to what it was. The enemy, the devil goes, wait, where did Tim go? We were just having a great battle and I thought I was winning. I'm a child of God. My dad in heaven takes care of me. My father. It's not to say I will always understand. I will not always, at the time, maybe agree with how he responds, right? Let's be honest. A little bit of flesh in us. I may still have some doubts, questions, wonderings. And when I do, all of a sudden, I sense this thing in my spirit to come in to say, but who am I? Yeah, I was talking to an individual this week, and I said, you know, there's great things in you. And I said, we all go through life and we all have battles and we all go through and do some dumb things. But I said, you've got to remember what you have understood through that of teachings and things of the Bible. And that when you're weak, he says he's strong. Amen. And that he's all around you, guiding and guarding and protecting you. And that he will see you through whatever it is that you're going through. And he will bring you through those things. But you've got to keep your focus on him or get back to him if you've left him and allow him to take up that residency in your life again. And then he will begin to work in that life. He will begin to do the changes that you need. But you've got to do some things on your own. But it's all there for you. So we look at this. Now, we find that in this verse 20. Hallelujah. Now, we talked about what crush is. Our victory is a continuation of Christ's victory when he bruised the head of the serpent at Calvary. Whatever took place at the cross, it is going and going even in today of what was accomplished on the cross. Amen? So we find that Paul writes about God who brings peace. It is Satan who causes disagreements and wars. And soon does not mean immediately, okay? It means that this is the sometime in the future, but where I read this here somewhere. I was reading this here. Where was it, Lord? Help me. Shortly does not mean soon. And I was just talking to a brother in the Lord a week or so back, and I don't know, he was talking to me about this, about the suddenlies, because we're talking about the suddenlies, like probably like this year, how suddenly things happen. And he says, you know, brother, he says, I looked at that word and what it really means in the Bible. And he said, a suddenly is not like suddenly, like, oh, boom. Suddenly is this. Shortly does not mean soon, but swiftly. In circumstances of life, as at the end of this age, we may expect God's conquest of Satan's workings to be short and sharp. Boom! Things that God did in the Old Testament and the things that he showed, it was like suddenly things. Things that are happening, things or whatever. And so that's what we see here. These suddenlies and shortlies does not mean soon, but swiftly. The Lord God will swiftly do that justice or judgment upon what that enemy is doing in your life. And when he comes or when he's coming forth, and we look at that, and I believe in our lives as well, that those things we've got to be aware of and be looking for. So this soon does not mean immediately. It means that at some time in the future, God will act to end the power of Satan permanently. Paul's words also refer to an ancient custom after a battle. The captains of the army that won would place their feet on the necks of their chief enemies. You know, at Joshua 10:24, this action showed that they had completely overcome their enemies. Psalms 110:11 speaks about the Messiah who puts his feet on his enemies. Christ has won victory over Satan at the cross, but Satan continues to oppose God, and Satan continues to cause trouble for God's people. But Paul was confident that Satan's final defeat is certain, and Christ's death was sufficient to end Satan's power completely. That's why we got to stand and put our heels on that guy, on the neck, on the Satan. That's showing victory over that. So at the present time, we are still waiting for Satan's final defeat, aren't we? God has allowed this delay to give people the opportunity to trust him. 2 Peter 3:9, for people to refuse will suffer that same punishment. But God does not want people to suffer that punishment. And we go on, it says that this is why he sent Christ into the world. Christ died on the cross to suffer the punishment for sin. People who trust him are not still God's enemies. Prior to that, we were like enemies to God. This life that we had, they have become God's friends, and they will overcome together with that of Christ. We get reconciled back to God through that of the blood of Christ. It continues. It's just like a thing that just like, if you ever done Ancestry.com stuff or Ancestry stuff online, you'll realize you put something in, and all of a sudden, that leaf begins to grow and limbs start just to go. It's kind of like what it is with that of the birth of Christ. When that happened, all of these things just started coming out. This is going to take place, and this is part of that. And this actually relates to this, and this is part of that over here. And it's just a big thing, but it's all under that of God, and God is in control of it, and God knows what's going on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So today, as we prepare for Christmas, I just say this again to you. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. For there is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we have joy. We've got this time to celebrate, and I trust you got something out of it. It's kind of like a long, I don't know what kind of Christmas message this was, other than we looked at the birth, and it goes back to Genesis, and then we find that through that of him, and through that birth, and through that little babe, and who what we have through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But you got to avail yourself to him, and you got to ask him, and you got to allow him. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We will prepare and finish here with that of our communion, and